WK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. envoy says Washington stands by NATO allies after they helped shoot down Russian drones that entered Polish airspace during an overnight attack on Ukraine. Prime Minister Donald Tusk.
This is the first time that Russian drones have been shot down over the territory of a NATO member country, which is why all allies are taking this situation very seriously. We have not recorded any casualties.
Russia's defense ministry just claiming it did not target Poland. President Trump's weighed in on yesterday's Israeli strike on Hamas political offices in Qatar. CBS's Jared Hill.
On social media, he said it was too late to stop the attack after the U.S. military notified him and that he directed his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, to inform leaders in Qatar immediately.
In Washington, D.C. Protesters outside Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant, where President Trump took cabinet members to highlight his crackdown on crime. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Knowing your rights was the core of a message at a Milwaukee press conference yesterday. Milwaukee leaders and immigrant rights groups are reacting to a Supreme Court ruling allowing federal immigration agents to make stops in Los Angeles based on race, language, and location. The court's decision overturns limits protecting against racial profiling during immigration sweeps. Clarence Nicholas, president of the NAACP Milwaukee branch, talked about his problem with that effort.
This creates a second-class citizenship for Latinos who are now vulnerable to being detained simply because looking Latino and speaking Spanish.
Groups like Forward Latino say they're mobilizing in Milwaukee, offering tips for dealing with agents and handing out what are called Know Your Rights cards. With efforts underway just south of the state line, our governor is again on record saying he's against it happening here. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Governor Tony Evers says he wouldn't support sending National Guard troops to Milwaukee to handle local crime. Evers says in most cases, the local authorities have everything under control.
I think our police officers all across the state of Wisconsin can do the jobs that they're doing well right now.
Speaking at a back-to-school event in Wausau on Monday, Evers says soldiers from the Guard can't find enough to do in Washington, D.C. as it is.
You see them doing different things like mowing the lawn and, making the city more beautiful. I think we can do that without National Guard's people doing it.
Milwaukee is just one of several cities that President Trump or the White House have mentioned as being targets for deployment, along with New Orleans and Chicago.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The Packers in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last Sunday's game between the Packers and Lions drew 24 million viewers, the most watched Week 1 game on CBS in 28 years. Tomorrow night, they host the Washington Commanders. Green Bay defensive end Micah Parsons has had some of his best games against Washington during his time with the Cowboys.
I don't know, just the strategy, coaching, understand who you're playing against. They're just an explosive team, starting with that quarterback, and it just means a lot more. You got to get to him.
The Packers could be without right tackle Zach Tom and left guard Aaron Banks, both dealing with injuries. There'll be game time decisions. And the team signing Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million, even though he's still rehabbing a torn ACL. College football. The Badgers will play at Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Game time 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill likely to start at quarterback again. Women's volleyball. The Badgers beating the UWM Panthers last night. 3-0 in straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Another beautiful September day is on tap. Mostly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, a bit mild with lows near 60. Another good one on Thursday, no shortage of sunshine with a high of 73. Right now, 53 degrees.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at. They have 17 pro courts. There's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule. Plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screen TVs so you can catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women don't need to vote as long as they have a husband, apparently. Andrew Watkins breaks down the church that says this and the politicians who are influenced by it. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back and good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, September 10th. Parker Olson is producing this shindig down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by as well. So is Earl Ingram. We'll be talking about issues in Milwaukee and his What's Going On podcast. We'll have a guest from Clean Wisconsin later this hour talking about data centers. They are sold as job creators. They are sold as the thing that's going to change the internet with artificial intelligence or AI, but they also suck up a lot of groundwater in a community. And so we'll talk about concerns regarding that. And then we'll wrap up the hour at 8:52 with a conversation with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who's working his way to La Crosse, where he's making an appearance today after entering the race for Wisconsin governor. So before we get to all that, let's see, we've got in the mailbag here, we talked about all the many events going on around Wisconsin this weekend, and you need to get to an event. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend. There is no reason to be shut in this weekend. There's got to be some place to go. I listed several, but Tom in Hartford said, don't forget Road America Fall Vintage. Noted. We talked about this being the anniversary of the Swanson TV dinner. Jana in Waukesha says, I loved the turkey and gravy dinner in the 90s even. And Fresh Prince, which also had its anniversary today, is an institution as far as TV goes. And Michael put in a comment from earlier. We were talking about casseroles and how I finally made casserole with tater tots for the first time yesterday. And Michael saying, I used cheddar cheese and chopped celery. I'm sorry, cheddar cheese soup and chopped celery in my tater tot casserole, and I add crumbled bacon.
Oh,
look at this. Now, Brittany and Parker, they're intrigued by all this.
If you utter the words bacon, my ears perk up.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
And tater tot.
You lost me at celery. I do not like celery. I don't know what it is about it, but I just don't. But all that other, bacon. I mean, come on. You had me a bacon. We had a staff meeting. I don't know who it was, and I don't want to out this person. She seems like a perfectly fine person. It's not Brittany Merlot, but there is somebody at Civic Media who, in a staff call yesterday, said, I don't like the smell of bacon.
Yeah.
And you get these little emojis that you can put, like thumbs up or applauding hands. I don't know if we could see her through all the thumbs down emojis that people metaphorically want to put on there. People saying, what kind of a monster are you? You're not required to love bacon. We're just not sure what's the matter
to say
you don't love bacon.
To say it's bad is wild.
Yeah. So look, it takes all of us. That's not just a saying for the end zone, but for the kitchen as well. It takes all of us.
Can Brett Favre get behind bacon?
Yeah. Brett Favre would call all this divisive, but anyway. All right. So there ends bacon and casserole chatter for today. Let's go to Brittany now with a quick update on the forecast. And, you know, it's not, we haven't returned to summer yet. So don't look for it today, but it is definitely on the way.
It is around the corner. And if we could only have bacon raining from the sky, then people wouldn't be so mad, right?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. It's dreary. It's a little damp out there this morning. We have dense fog up north, a pretty big cloud sitting right on the ground for a lot of the Northwoods right now with a dense fog advisory in effect until 10 a.m. This goes from Ashland to Eau Claire into Hayward, Superior, even Eagle River can barely see this morning. And then we've got spotty showers working through the central parts of the state, from Madison to Wausau, moving in towards the Fox Valley. The only sunshine out there this morning is along Lake Michigan, and that's not going to stay. Temperatures right now, mid-50s to low 60s, and we are looking at scattered showers, light sprinkles, continuing very isolated on and off through the eastern half of the state today. More sunshine will try to peek through those clouds farther to the west, and highs today will be in the upper 60s far north to low 70s far south, so still a cooler day today. Fog pushes back in again overnight, and then tomorrow we'll see more spots of sunshine, slightly warmer, low to mid 70s for highs, maybe an 80 degree far south, and then we're all going to start to flirt with 80 degrees for Friday. It'll be partly sunny, a little warmer, a little bit more muggy. Rain could roll in late Friday night into early Saturday morning, and then it leaves us in the summer weather. Humid, I will tell you that. Highs will be in the mid to low 80s both Saturday and Sunday. Places far south could be nearing 90 on Saturday, actually. So a warm one expected, and that holds. Those temperatures do hold as we move into next week, too. So it's not just a short little blast. Summer's here for a little bit, just a little bit.
What a nice little gift you've given us before you start your long weekend. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're
leaving us in good hands. Mother Nature's good hands. Have a fun long weekend. We will talk to you next week.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brittany. And you can always get your local forecast updates throughout the day here on your favorite civic media stations. Let's jump right into Earl Ingram. I'm going to ask him about David Crawley, the county executive there running for governor. But before that, we've got to talk about the police union head down there in Milwaukee and this whole notion of, you know, whether to support the idea of Donald Trump putting troops on the streets of Milwaukee. Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you on these Wednesday mornings. And so let's start with your conversations about, you know, Milwaukee police union support for the idea of troops, which is not necessary. I get the impression this isn't like a pro-military thing. It's more of a we need some kind of resources, we'll take whatever we can get kind of thing. And that doesn't sit well with everybody.
Well, what's happening in the city of Milwaukee and the issue with the police department is that they can't find enough people who want to become police officers. And so there's a shortage of over 200 officers in the city. And I don't have to tell you what kind of a problem that is if you're going to be 200 short in the largest city in the state of Wisconsin. And clearly it is needed. Police officers are needed. There clearly are things that go on in a city like Milwaukee that you need to have law enforcement. And the fact that we're short many officers is becoming a major problem. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm a guy who is not calling for the National Guard. The mayor doesn't want to see the National Guard, the common council. The governor doesn't want to see that. But on the other hand, when you're short so many officers, you sometimes, wonder.
Right. And that's what the mayor of Washington, D.C. said with the troops. And Trump was talking about all the arrests and crime going down. And she said, well, yeah, if you gave me 500 more police officers, I could get that as well. It's not, you know, this is not an apples and oranges comparison. It's really an indictment of support for our large cities in this time of, you know, constant austerity and hostility coming from Republicans who control the budget strings.
Well, you just kind of hit the ball out of the park. At the root of it is the fact that Republicans have been controlling what happens, and there are people who are at wit's end, and there are people who struggle economically in the wealthiest nation on earth. Everybody's not prospering, even though the stock market is booming, that people who are struggling every day to put food on the table. And I don't have to tell you that if the option is me not being able to survive, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to survive. And you got people who are in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to the podcast topics, I did want to ask, the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crawley, will be on the show here just over 30 minutes from now, talking about his entry into the campaign for governor. Is it something that you expected, and what kind of a campaign might we expect from David Crawley?
I clearly expected it. I know the county executive well. I remember the first time he even entered into politics, and I used to always say he was my favorite elected official, even when he was at a fledgling elected official. So I don't put anything past the young man. He is certainly a very bright young man who's got a bright future in politics. You know, governor is a stretch. It, considering there's only one black governor in the United States, and there's only been four historically in this nation, it's, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah. Yep. Talking to Earl Ingram. He has the What's Going On podcast, which you can get at civicmedia.us. And you've got a couple of new episodes here. We hinted at one last week and wanted to hear more from you about the whole notion of aging out of foster care and the kind of thing that, I mean, that's been a thing, of course, as long as there's been foster care, but it continues to be a challenge for young people and for society overall.
As a treatment foster parent myself for the last 22 plus years, I am cognizant of what young people are faced with. And what I don't understand about our nation is children don't get to pick their parents. They don't get to pick their families. And as a society, I think the way we handle young people who, again, through no fault of their own, are born into the conditions and situations that they are, that we basically turn a blind eye to them. I think our nation does a disservice when it does that. And so, you know, we want to bring attention to the fact that there are young people all over this nation who have had a tough go of it. And when we pull the plug on them and say, hey, you're on your own, it's time for you to test your wings, even knowing their backgrounds, I think we set them up to wind up doing some nefarious things. I'm not saying that's the case, but you certainly make it a whole lot easier if survival is the first law of nature. We kind of leave people in bad situations.
Yeah. And then there's one more episode I know that's coming up here. It's entitled Forgetful Minds Need Support. And Diane Beckley Milner is your guest about how Alzheimer's impacts not only the individual, but the whole family.
The Alzheimer's a situation, we went in depth with Alzheimer's, and what most people might not know is dementia, and many is all of those things come under the guise of dementia, and many different issues and people are faced with. And we went deep into it because sometimes you go upstairs and you forget your keys, and you go upstairs and there are times that I wonder, well, what did I come up here for? And so we wanted to make it clear that if you're forgetful on certain things, we shouldn't automatically think that you're headed towards dementia or Alzheimer's, but that we should, if you certain things that you see happening to you and your loved ones, you need to stay on top of it.
All right. You can learn all about this from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us and click on shows. All the episodes are there. Get subscribed to it wherever you listen to your podcast as well. Listen to it on demand. It's very good listening and great information that we're getting from Earl. Appreciate your time, Earl, as always. Thanks so much. Hope you have a good day.
You as well.
All right. Again, civicmedia.us is where you go to learn more about that. Now, coming up in our next half hour, we're going to be talking to a guest from Clean Wisconsin. There are data centers going up in Wisconsin. There are big data centers being proposed around Wisconsin. But at what cost? I mean, there was a recent network news report about how after a Meta data center was built in the state of Georgia, residents around there would turn on their water taps and nothing would come out. We'll talk about that and a live interview with Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley at 8:52, candidate for governor. All ahead, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Matt and Air on Air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Today, I'm very excited to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Charlie Nash, and he's the president and board chair of the Cream City Foundation in Milwaukee. And he joins me today to talk about their scholarship program, the people who applied, and what they do to invest in the community. But first, Charlie, please tell me a little history about the Cream City Foundation.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, Greg. I really appreciate this. So Cream City Foundation is the second oldest LGBTQ-focused foundation in the country, which is, I think, something that's really interesting when you look at the history of Wisconsin and Milwaukee, that we have that kind of caliber of support for the community as part of our history. Me personally, I have been involved with the Cream City Foundation since 2021, in which I joined the board, and I have been the president and board chair of the foundation since 2023. So it's been my pleasure to kind of continue to take that history and that legacy of Cream City Foundation, whose mission is to fund LGBTQ plus equity in Southeast Wisconsin, and help continue to evolve that vision and evolve that mission as we take on some of the newer, in fact, I think sometimes more insidious attacks that we've seen on the community over the past few years.
And you've made the announcement that you are making scholarships available, and I wanted you to talk about that. We saw the press release, but tell me what you do with the scholarships and how they are going to impact those who receive them.
When we think about scholarships, there's many aspects to our programming that we have. Scholarships is something that we started doing more in force around 2015. And it's been a really successful program because it, I feel like it has a unique impact upon our community in a few different ways. The first is the concept of capacity building. So when we think about how do we truly enable equity for LGBTQ plus people, it is for all LGBTQ plus people. And I think we need to recognize that educational outcomes, the burden of debt and financial burden that people come out with from education can vary quite a bit with underrepresented groups, people of color, transgender individuals that are often maybe facing many issues. And in a particular community, many people are working through high school and college in less stable home environments. And so that financial support for truly people to build the capacity, build the skills, so not only can they be successful in their lives economically, but also have the capacity to give back. That is something that we really believe, and it's important for us as a foundation to pay forward. So this year we were excited to announce, actually for the third year in a row, we've had a record high funding for our scholarship program. And so we've funded 20 scholarships for a total of $50,000, so $2,500 to 20 incredible students in our area. And you know, our hope is that those students will continue to stay in our area, continue to invest and see that investment made in them, and invest that time and energy back in their community in their lifetimes, whether regardless of what field they choose.
I think that's a great way of putting it. You are investing in these individuals so they can give something back. That is the important thing, especially about keeping people in Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin. It's about growing the community, the entire community, and through these scholarships, I can see as that is a great way to invest in our younger folks. With 20 scholarships, it must be a wide swath of individuals in the community. Can you tell me more about the folks who applied and those who got it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You think with 20 scholarships, we actually have every year about 80 or 90 individuals that apply. So it's a very difficult set of decisions to even whittle it down to 20 and the $50,000 that we do have to invest. So the need is great. And many times the things that are making the decisions are individuals that we see a distinct need for the scholarships, individuals that have as well a demonstrated ability and capacity and desire to give back, as what I mentioned before. That certainly is something that we want to help encourage with our scholarship awardees. And in fact, we have our business quality luncheon coming up, which is our really premier event every single year in which we celebrate business equity, equity of LGBTQ plus people in the business world. And it's also our opportunity to honor our scholarship recipients. And so it's an incredible opportunity to sort of see the various experiences, have them join that kind of forum and really see, okay, here's an organization that is striving to give back. Here's how they can get involved and engaged moving forward. So really exciting wide range of people that we see and want to continue to encourage participating in giving back to their community moving forward in all stripes, whether it's in the medical field, in things like history and art, or in many cases, things that may be seen as more, you know, trade related and very specific to their jobs and skills that they want to build as individuals.
This is great. I love hearing about these types of programs and giving back to the community. Charlie, if people want to know more about the scholarships going forward and just the Cream City Foundation, where do they want to go?
Right. Well, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Cream City Foundation. Otherwise, our website is creamcityfdn.org. And that's where you can find information about all of our programs, events, or even kind of when the next cycle of scholarships will come up.
Charlie Nash is the president and board chair of the Cream City Foundation. I really appreciate you coming onto the show today and talking about this wonderful program. And I look forward to talking to you very, very soon, my friend.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Charlie Nash for being here to talk about the Cream City Foundation. And he will be back very soon to talk about another program that's coming out. So you want to stay tuned right here on WAUK and Civic Media. Again, if you want to find out more, go to creamcityfdn.org. And remember, you can always subscribe to our shows here at Civic Media as podcasts. Go to your podcast distribution center of choice, look for your favorite shows, and then when you subscribe, they're delivered to you every single time a new episode is available. Don't go anywhere, because after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is is Matinair on Air with me, Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair. And today our guest is Andrew Watkins. She's a New York Times bestselling author, and Rick Reed, who is an economics professor from Fox Valley Technical College. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha was getting checked out yesterday. FEMA officials were assessing flood damage to public infrastructure in Waukesha after the flooding last month. Places damaged include the Riverwalk Trail, where repairs to the bridge alone could cost close to $200,000. Waukesha County's estimated residential damage is totaling about $95 million. The county has an early estimate of public damage at $4 million. It could take a couple more weeks for FEMA approvals for damage across the area. UW-Milwaukee is seeing its biggest freshman class in over a decade. There's nearly 3,900 new students enrolling in the fall. Overall enrollment reached just over 22,000 students. Leaders say the growth is driven by increased scholarships and affordable learning options. Despite the gains, the university does say they will face some hurdles with fewer international graduate students expected this year. Final enrollment numbers will be confirmed soon. A recent report released by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that municipalities in the state have been spending more money due to inflation. Melissa Kay has more.
According to the report, municipal spending increased by a little over 7% in 2023, meaning cities and villages spent about $80 more per resident on average than in 2022. The report also found municipalities saw a nearly 3% increase in general obligation debts, which was the smallest year-over-year percentage increase in the last 10 years, thanks to collecting over $3 billion in property taxes for the first time.
A new bill in Wisconsin aims to stop taxing workers on their overtime pay at the state level. The bill would align Wisconsin's tax code with federal law by allowing a subtraction for overtime income. Supporters say it'll boost take-home pay and benefit employers. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Neil Diamond fans might want to start making plans for the holidays. Song Sung Blue, named after the Neil Diamond hit, finally has a release date and will hit theaters nationwide on Christmas Day. The perfect day to give us a reprieve from Christmas tunes. The film is based on a true story of a Wisconsin-based couple who formed a Neil Diamond tribute band called Thunder and Lightning. Mike and Claire Sardina were down on their luck musicians living in Milwaukee. Once they started performing together and singing those feel-good Diamond tunes, they became a local phenomenon. The film is based on the 2008 documentary of the same name by Greg Coe. The film has serious star power. The cast is led by Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, with an ensemble that includes The Sopranos' Michael Imperioli, Ella Anderson, and Jim Belushi. Song Sung Blue is directed by Craig Brewer. Go to YouTube and check out the trailer, waiting with bated breath to find out if Sweet Caroline will be in the film. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the...
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Group. Learn more online at horizonslaw.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Another beautiful September day is on tap. Mostly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, a bit mild with lows near 60. Another good one on Thursday, no shortage of sunshine, with a high of 73. Right now, 53 degrees.
If you're trying to do your own divorce, divorce coaching can be a godsend. It can help you organize all of your financials, review your spouse's financials, and help you put together a proposal to resolve your divorce, or be able to articulate why the proposal is unfair and whether you can push back on things like an inheritance or the income of the other party. Call Horizons Law Group today and speak to attorney Michelle Fitzgerald, 262-432-3600 or horizonslaw.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvie, writer of the new rom-com The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, the weekday version with its new newsletter editor, Ellie Bordeaux, who got started today, a Conemaugh native. And of course, the version that I write, more politics based on the weekends. Sign up for those at upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe at the banner at the top of our homepage. All right, let's turn our attention now to data centers. We're hearing all about artificial intelligence and the need for all of these data centers to hold that and all the other information that we're busy Googling and sending and sharing. And data centers are basically the cloud. The cloud is not something light and fluffy and doesn't take up a lot of space. The cloud is monstrous, and it has a monstrous appetite for things like water to keep things cool. Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin is joining us now to talk a bit more about that, not just from the standpoint of Wisconsin projects and proposals, but just the concept around the country where some communities are starting to learn the real cost of these data centers. Amy Berrio, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us in studio down there in Madison from Clean Wisconsin. You can find them at cleanwisconsin.org with plenty of things that you can learn. For example, there's a column here called AI Data Centers and the Artificial Need for Dirty Energy. Amy, the upshot of all of this is basically what? Just letting the public know what all is involved with every time one of these data centers is proposed for Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think things are happening really fast. You know, a couple years ago, we'd never even thought about AI data centers. And now suddenly in Wisconsin, we're juggling a number of AI data center projects. And the thing to understand is these data centers use a lot of energy. So, we're talking the one that was that is proposed in Port Washington could use as much energy once it's complete as 2 million homes. And I want to apologize. I said on Todd Allball's show, 4 million homes. And if Todd, you're listening, I apologize. I pulled over the wrong piece of information for that. But that number is 2 million homes. And that's
it's only 2 million homes that this thing could power for this one proposed for Port Washington.
For this one project, yeah.
So the correction is noted, but it is still an incredible number, the amount of energy these types of facilities use.
Yeah, and I think people may not understand that. So you're talking about a data center that's on almost 2,000 acres that have been primarily farmland that is going to be converted into a space with a lot of windowless buildings. Those buildings will be full of computer servers because this AI, actions take a lot of work from computers, right? This is not a small number of tasks that are being done when you ask AI something. That's an enormous task. And so these data centers are being built because, I've heard it compared to an arms race, right, between the major tech companies. They want to be the big players in the AI space. And so these data centers are coming in and they are a strain on resources. So, more energy than we've ever produced before for one single user. This will be the biggest energy user in the history of the state once it's built. And not only do these data centers use energy, they also use water for cooling. And right now, we don't have a lot of transparency around how much water exactly is going to be pulled from our lakes and our aquifers for these data centers. There's not a lot of transparency about how they're going to operate, what the noise levels are going to be, how many diesel generators are going to be on site that need to be fired up to be used as backup and tested once a month. So there's a lot of baggage, I guess, that comes along with these data centers that the public doesn't always know, you know, really until they're already approved.
So this is, again, something that we talk about clean energy all the time, green energy, you know, a whole new economy. Mm-hmm. And it would be easy to lump data centers into that because, again, it doesn't look like a factory. There isn't a pipe that sludge comes out of, for example. But like you said, when it comes to the amount of water required, the amount of electricity required, is it your view that any community where this is proposed needs to treat this no differently than any other, you know, old school factory that's coming in and using your resources?
Well, I think we need to recognize what the differences are. Again, this is a scale of energy use that we have never seen. You know, having the biggest energy user in the state ever. An energy user that, you know, when I say 2 million homes, we don't have a city in Wisconsin that has 2 million homes. So this will be like a city in Wisconsin that doesn't have any people in it. But it's going to be using that much energy. And the energy utilities, We Energies in this case, you know, want those data centers to come here. They want the profits that go along with building new energy generation to meet those needs because they make a rate of return every time they build something profit. So we have to recognize that a lot of times we have energy companies like We Energies or like Alliant Energy in the case of a data center that is being proposed in Dane County that are actively luring these data centers here. And what we don't get is a lot of transparency, so we don't understand exactly how much energy is going to be used right away. We don't understand where the water is coming from, how much water is getting used. On the hottest days of the year, how much water is going to be needed to cool that data center when we all need those resources, when our farmers need them, our communities need them. How much of our resources are we going to be sharing with the data centers? And so it's a bit like any other industry that has come to Wisconsin in the past, but then again, it's very, very different because we just haven't encountered anything like this before. We don't know how many new gas plants, you know, We Energies is planning to build to meet the needs of this one data center. But we do know if it does meet those needs with gas plants, the communities where those plants are located will be harmed by air pollution. We know that we'll be pushed further from reaching any kind of climate goals in Wisconsin. So we need to take this seriously, and we need to start demanding real transparency, and we need to start demanding that these data centers come with a plan to meet their needs in a sustainable way. And right now we're not seeing that.
We're talking to Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin about data centers and the amount of resources being needed. And I was looking at a New York Times article from over the summer when Meta, the parent company of Facebook, broke ground on a $750 million data center about 90 minutes east of Atlanta. The neighbors all around that area suddenly noticed there was no water coming out of their taps. And so there was all this potential for jobs, which are primarily in the construction field of building these things, right, in the first place. And then they're there. And now that water taps are running dry by the neighbors, it reminds me of an issue that we've talked about from a legislative standpoint across rural Wisconsin, so-called high capacity wells. Mm-hmm. Or for these mega farms, you know, they seek high capacity wells to irrigate all these fields. But again, at what price to the neighbor's water supply and to our aquifers overall? And again, you know, it's one thing to have a mega farm, but a mega data center, it appears to be no different in terms of how much water is needed to keep these servers cool.
Well, I mean, we've seen historically, and by historically, I mean in the last several years, that these AI data centers are using a tremendous amount of water for cooling. The data centers that are being proposed in Wisconsin right now, you know, we're getting assurances that they're going to be using a new kind of cooling system that is a closed loop system. So they're going to withdraw some amount of water, but then recycle it to use it over and over again for cooling. But those data centers appear to be more energy intensive than the ones that don't use the closed loop system. And it's important for us to understand that power plants use a lot of water. So if we're going to shift the water use from on site to power plants in the region, we're still, again, providing our water resources to this data center. And so when I talk about transparency, I mean on all levels, like how much water is this data center really using, not just on site, but regionally in Wisconsin? Because one thing I think maybe we don't always think about is we're sitting in the middle of the largest freshwater system in the world, the Great Lakes region. And tech companies know that. We in Wisconsin, we are lucky to have, fresh water, plentiful water, and also a lot of land that's currently being used for agriculture. So we are desirable, I would say.
Oh, gosh, without a doubt. It's something we've talked about for many years, that folks in, say, the desert Southwest would love to extend a giant straw, you know, to the Midwest to water their lawns and for drinking.
Yeah.
But instead, we're now seeing the sucking up of our water for something that, again, would not necessarily come to us, that we would not get a direct benefit from. So, Amy, to start to tie a bow on this, the website is cleanwisconsin.org for folks that want to learn more. Do you have other resources or other actions that you hope that people will take when it comes to data centers being proposed?
Well, right now, you know, we're hopeful that soon there's going to be some legislation that's about this transparency that I'm talking about. Because right now there's really nothing. There's no legal avenue or policy avenue for a community to use when a big data center project comes to town if it gets approved by their local lawmakers. So, what we're calling for is transparency. And so when, you know, we have something that's public that people can kind of throw their support behind, we'll be sure to let you know. Right now, it's just about getting out information so people can at least be informed about what data centers are, what they can mean, and why this issue is important.
And I suppose not just for any regular folks, but I would imagine if people are on county boards, town boards, city councils, rather than waiting for some proposal to be dropped in their laps, and now you face the pressure of making a decision, it would be a pretty good idea if elected officials, local elected officials around the state, started to bone up on this right now before the first requests come in.
Yeah, they need to start learning about what this means, because once a request comes in, you know, these things move very fast. And communities, you know, small communities that don't normally face this kind of pressure are facing a big time pressure, because we know how much money tech companies have and how powerful they are. And they're just getting more and more powerful. And that's a lot to stand up to. People in local communities should start understanding this issue.
Yeah. Before I let you go, obviously this is one aspect, one issue that Clean Wisconsin is working on, but I know everything from, the Enbridge Line 5 up north and a host of other projects. The folks at Clean Wisconsin, they're not sitting around bored. There are plenty of projects that y'all are working on right now.
Yeah. The environment, it's a lot. It's a lot to protect. So you mentioned Line 5. We're in the middle of a legal case against the DNR for permits that were issued to build 41 miles of new Line 5 section through some pristine areas of northern Wisconsin. So that's a big focus right now. But we work on everything from water and wetland protection to clean energy to sustainable farming. And if it has to do with the environment, we're on it.
Amy Berrio from Clean Wisconsin, cleanwisconsin.org. Amy, thank you very much. I really appreciate having you on today.
Thank you.
All right. And like I said, Amy has been on with Todd Alba before and is on other shows to keep us updated on all kinds of matters that are happening in terms of protecting our natural resources. Economic development is extremely important in the state, no doubt about that. But it really is a matter of research and transparency and taking that balanced approach so that we're not, essentially eating our own seed corn when it comes to the notion of economic development. We're looking to talk to Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley, up next, candidate for governor in 2026 here in the state of Wisconsin. Live from Lake Wasota, across the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back in a bit.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday! On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes called Sensen.
Kind of tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've got afternoon baseball coming up here across Civic Media Radio Network. 1 o'clock, the pregame begins for the third and final game of the Brewers series in Arlington against the Texas Rangers. Again, 1 o'clock this afternoon, then they're off tomorrow for a home series this weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, tune in across the Civic Media Radio Network this afternoon for a little matinee baseball. Let's turn our attention now to the race for governor and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who is touring the state now after getting into the race, as he promised he would, for the race to become the next governor of the state of Wisconsin in 2026. And David joins us live now. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Very good. I understand you're on the road today, I think La Crosse, if I heard correctly.
Yes, I am in La Crosse today. I was in Madison yesterday. And so we already started to crisscross around the state to talk about our vision for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Again, for folks who haven't seen it, an excellent campaign launch video talking a bit about your background and why you're running for governor. So that's a 2-minute video rather than a 2-minute answer. Why don't you give me the short version of what you're telling folks about you and why you're deciding to run for governor?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. And one, I think it's important to acknowledge that Governor Evers, he's been able to be the steady, calm strength that we've needed for the past almost decade, right? He's led us through the pandemic. He's protect our democracies, protect working families from a lot of the harm that has been going on across our country. And so I spent 7 years in the state capitol, so I know exactly how Madison works. I've worked with this state legislature. And for the past 5 years, I have been leading the largest county in the entire state of Wisconsin. I represent 1 million people, about a sixth of our entire state's population, and also manage a budget of about $1.4 billion. And since 2020, I not only led Milwaukee County through the pandemic, but we've tackled some of the toughest issues, things like public safety, public health, fiscal recovery. We've invested in small businesses. We've created more options of affordable housing. We've made government more accessible. We've cut our carbon emissions in half, all while being able to deliver the largest property tax cut in Milwaukee County's history. And so I know that on day one, that I'll be ready to hit the ground, because I'm the only candidate in this race with legislative experience and experience running a government.
We're talking to David Crowley, the Milwaukee County executive and candidate for governor. As you know, there are folks in the race that include the lieutenant governor. There's an industry executive. There's the county executive in Washington County. There are state legislators who think that they might be getting in as well. So you've outlined a lot of your strengths and your background. But of course, one of the shortcomings, if you will, is simply, you know, name recognition. The way Wisconsin is, it's tough for a rural person to get known in Milwaukee, or a Milwaukee person to get known in the rest of the state. Getting in the car is one of the most essential things. But tell folks what else you're doing and talking about when you go to rural Wisconsin. I wouldn't count Eau Claire as rural, but you were just in the Chippewa Valley 2 weeks ago, for example, to talk about affordable housing.
Oh, absolutely. And had a chance to join Representative Jody Emerson. And, you know, being able to see some of the great things that they're doing in Eau Claire was just extremely wonderful. But it let me know that the issues that are facing Eau Claire, that are facing La Crosse, that are facing many of our communities, you know, are the same issues that we're facing in Milwaukee County. You know, the issues that we're be focusing on, we've been able to balance our budget. We've been able to expand our opioid treatment and prevention options. And I want folks to know that these aren't Milwaukee issues. These aren't Democratic issues or Republican issues. These are Wisconsin issues. And so we're going to cut through the mustard. We want folks to know that we're not going to pay attention, you know, to the division and to the distractions that people are going to throw in this race. We're going to speak directly to the issues facing every community. And I want them to know that I'm going to show up for them, and I've already been doing that. You know, I led the charge across the state to build a coalition to make sure that every community of every size got their share back from Madison, so they can invest in things that matter most to them. Things like police and fire, being able to invest in transportation and housing. And I want folks to know I'm going to continue to fight for them as the next governor of Wisconsin. We need a governor who understands the issues at heart, but also a governor who listens.
There are so many issues that we can talk about, and of course our time is limited. So while affordable housing may not be at the top of a lot of lists, it's one that you have experience with in Milwaukee County. You saw what was going on in the Chippewa Valley. We just spoke in our last hour about actually fencing off city parks in La Crosse because of the issue of unsheltered folks. This is a challenge everywhere. What's been your own experience with the issue and how you might be a part of the solution?
Well, one, you know, in order to fix these issues, it's important that those who have been negatively impacted by the problems in our community, that they're leading and bringing their voice to the table to be a part of the solution. There isn't a one size fits all to the issues facing every community across this state. And when it comes down to struggling, I know what that's like. I was evicted 3 times by the time I graduated high school. I've seen my mother struggle to, you know, pay for the bills, put food on the table. And here in Milwaukee County, you know, we have done great work with our Housing First model. We have been recognized 3 out of the past 5 years by the United States HUD that we've had the lowest unsheltered homeless count per capita than any other community our size across this entire country. And that's because we're putting our money where our mouth is, making sure that we're making investments up front to make sure that we save a lot more money down the line. And these are issues that's going to help every community across this state, whether we're talking about affordability, but we also need to talk about attainable housing while we talk about affordable housing. And attainable housing is housing that is available for everyone of all income levels. We know that the housing stock isn't quite there for many communities. And as Milwaukee County, we're pretty much fully built out, being one of the fully incorporated communities in the entire country. But that doesn't mean that we can't work and create creative solutions for every community across the state.
We are talking to David Crowley. He's the county executive and a candidate for governor. And if you want to hear more from him, he's going to be joining Todd Alba at 3:35 this afternoon as well. He's got a busy day ahead of him. David, thank you so much for your time. Yes. We appreciate it greatly. Safe travels.
Thank you.
You bet. That's David Crowley again, Milwaukee County Executive, joining us from La Crosse, where, again, crossing the state, getting his campaign kicked off. We'll talk more about it tomorrow here as well on these mornings with Pat Wright, low powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here bright and early Thursday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Russia's defense ministry is now denying it targeted Poland in overnight drone strikes thwarted by NATO allies. Secretary General Mark Rutte.
What we have seen last night was a very successful reaction by NATO and allies, including, of course, Poland itself, but also the Dutch and the Italians and the Germans, everybody involved. And I'm really impressed.
President Trump says he's not happy with yesterday's Israeli strike targeting Hamas political headquarters in Qatar. And he says he wasn't given enough notice to stop it. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab.
Given the White House was alerted in advance of the Doha attack by Israel, Qatari leaders here are asking why they weren't informed ahead of time.
President Trump's just called for the death penalty for a North Carolina man accused of stabbing a 23-year-old Ukrainian immigrant to death on a commuter train in Charlotte. U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson.
Much more recently, the surveillance video was obtained from the train, and that's really what gave us the basis for federal charges here.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.